Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Former 1985 Chicago Bear kicker Kevin Butler.
You know, we've seen a lot of highlights of him playing football and the incredible way he played football and incredible plays he made. You know, I just want them to remember that he was a friend. He's a father. He's a husband. There's a void in his family now that may never be filled. And support from everybody around Chicago and Texas and everywhere that Steve touched, you know, just give support and remember that there's a person with a bigger life behind you, kind of behind the scenes that you really don't see. And Steve touched so many people in so many ways, including me and my family, off of the football field. And I think that's what I hope people remember about Steve.
Beautiful tribute to Steve McMichael by his teammate Kevin Butler. We would also recommend you read what Dan Pompey wrote in The Athletic. One can only hope to be eulogized in the way that Dan eulogized and gave us the life of Steve Mongo McMichael.
Yeah, man. And I'm thrilled that we get a chance to talk to Dan now on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. Dan Pompey joins the Spiegel and Holmes show on The Score. And we were talking about it in transition, Dan. It feels like a lifetime's worth of reporting, or at least a career's worth of reporting, went into all the anecdotes, all the detail, the nuance, and the humanity that you got to put into this article today. So does it feel like a whole career's worth of reporting goes into something like this?
Well, yeah, you know, thanks, first of all, guys. I would say that we have to stop meeting like this, but it's always a pleasure to talk with you. I do feel it's just been a long journey. Like you say, maybe it has been a whole career because I've known Steve since 1985 and shared a lot with him, a lot of life. And then, unfortunately, I've shared some death with him. There's just so much to unpack. I mean, he was such a big personality, such a wonderful football player, colorful player. Nobody like him in my 40-some years covering the NFL. And he meant so much to that team, that organization, not just for the sacks he made, the tackles he made, anything he did on the field, but for the way he kind of helped give that team their identity and contributed so much to the mentality that was that great Bears defense, those great Bears teams. And, he was special in many, many ways. And I think it went well beyond what he did as a football player.
I know that near the induction that we discussed him as a football player, I'm relieved as someone who is a fan of that team. That's part of the reason that I'm sitting here is watching that team as a 10-year-old. I'm relieved that people finally came around to how great of a player he was. And considering all of the Hall of Famers on that defense, it's easy to get lost. I'm glad that his career didn't get lost to the point where he wasn't able to see himself be enshrined in Canton.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we all feel great about that. And he earned it. You know, there's no question that he deserved it. And I think it started during his playing career where he kind of just didn't get the credit because, you know, there were these bigger names around him. You know, Richard Dent had more sacks. Dan Hampton was a high first-round pick and was there before Steve. Mike Singletary had the big eyes, and, you know, he was the heartbeat of the defense. So, you know, Steve just kind of was the guy who did the dirty work, was always where he was supposed to be, and helped others shine. And, you know, that was kind of the beauty of his contribution, you know. And he made other people great, but he was great himself, you know, ended up with 95 career sacks and, you know, so many tackles, I think over 800 career tackles. Obviously, the streak of games played never came out because of an injury. Just did so much to contribute to wins and to great stands and plays. And, you know, he was truly special as a player in many ways. He's the kind of football player every coach in America wants on his team.
Yeah, well, Bear Bryant wanted him. You have an anecdote in here from John Madden talking about the way that he played every single game. He'll always be proud of his last game, whenever it is. And this stuff, all stayed in high school as a tight end, a linebacker, and a kicker. And then he's a and he could have gone as a tight end. He's instead wants to be on defense. He goes to New England and it blows up. Then they're talking about maybe making him a guard, making him an offensive player, and instead he becomes one of the best defensive tackles ever. It's an incredible arc. But can you talk about the bond between him and Dan Hampton on the field, on the defensive line together, and off the field as well?
Yeah, it started, you know, what a really unlikely story that would never happen today. When the Bears had an injury at the position, they signed McMichael, and they had Hampton pick him up at the airport. Could you imagine that? So Hampton picks him up at O'Hare, and they end up, kind of hitting it off right away. They go out that night, and you know, they go drinking, of course. And Hampton said, that was the first time I saw him chug a pitcher of beer, and I said, I think we got something here. And, you know, they became fast friends off the field, and they became wonderful players on the field in terms of guys who worked together and brought out the best in one another. And it really was a wonderful partnership till the end. You know, Dan was a great friend to Steve during Steve's trying times with his health. And I know, you know, this is very hard on him to see what's, it's hard on all his teammates. You know, I've talked to some of them yesterday and today, and, you know, it's a funny thing with his death, because, I mean, death is always hard and it's complicated and emotional. But obviously this is sad, very sad. We're all sad, and it's hard on all of us. But then there's another part of us that says, my gosh, he's not suffering anymore.
Yes.
And he went through so much. So it's a little different that way. But, you know, the confusing thing is, this guy fought so hard. He clearly had motivation to live. And, you know, that part of it was really, it was great to see that, you know, he wanted to stay alive, I think, first and foremost, for his daughter, Macy. He wanted to see her in a good place. And then I think, you know, he obviously wanted to live to see himself inducted in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, which happened last year. And I think there's probably a part of him that wanted to live to show everybody that he could do it, because as if he didn't show us how tough he was a million times during his playing career and his life.
Dan Pompey of The Athletic joining us here on The Score to talk and remember Steve McMichael. I love that you're able to weave in the piece, Dan. You're weaving between this incredible football player, and then there's post-football Mongo, where he is a media member. He is a four horseman rolling around with Ric Flair. He's a mayoral candidate, and I have a funny story about that. But this life that he lived, you talk about getting everything out of your life and going for every passion that interests you. I think there's a lesson to be learned there from Mongo in that regard.
Yeah, I mean, he was not cheated, you know, only 67 years, but what 67 years they were. And, you know, when I talked to him in 2022 after his diagnosis, one of the quotes, and I used it in the obituary today, was, you know, I've already lived 10 lives, so I'm okay. And there really was that element of him that he did all these things. And I mean, even the length of his football career was just you know, it was crazy. Defensive tackles don't play that long. And, you know, they don't play as many plays as he played and just keep going. I mean, even when, you know, he was really out of gas at the end of his Bears career. And, you know, Dave Wants said, tells him, you know, hey, you know, we love you. It's been great. It's time for you to move on. What does he do? He goes and signs with Green Bay for another year to play with them for $400,000 just because he wanted to keep playing. He thought he could stick it up the Bears' rear end. So, you know, I think he was a guy who had all these lives. The other thing is he felt deeply. And I think that can be lost on him with him because people think he was this callous, brutish guy, which he certainly portrayed himself as. But he was a guy with deep feelings. And, you know, that came out a number of times in my experiences with him. And certainly I saw him with his loved ones and family members. And he was a man, teammates. He was a man who really felt deeply.
Yeah, Dan, the stuff in here that hit me so hard, I mean, among others, but like, you know, when his one-time teammate, Jim Thornton, the tight end, is talking about how so many of the teammates fell, is that you didn't know if Mongo was going to slap you or hug you. You didn't know what he was going to do. He'd give you the death stare. He was the hardest guy to get to know. And there's stories in there about Neil Anderson at practice and not talking to players at practice. And McMichael heard Jim Thornton saying that, if I'm reading it correctly, while you're in the room too, and he's ill. And McMichael said, quote, "I was protecting my heart because I didn't want to get close to you and then see you get cut." And it was, I don't know why, man. It's like we stereotype these tough, badass football players for being, you know, jerks to teammates at times on the field. And for some of them, like McMichael, the feelings, as you say, are in there. And it's, he's got his reasons why he was the way he was to his teammates.
Yeah, you know, I think to a man, though, they'll all tell you once they got to know him, he was one of the best teammates they ever had. I know there are many who have just the utmost reverence for him. So many of them during his illness came to see him, many from out of town, some repeatedly. You know, they all held him in high esteem. And I'll say this too, not everyone on those great Bears teams was held in high esteem by their other teammates. He was one of the most well-liked guys on the team. I have no doubt saying that. And that goes even, you know, into the 90s when he was, you know, towards the end of his career. So, you know, part of that was the way he played. Like I said, sacrificing himself, you know, taking on a double team, doing the dirty work, making sure other people had their right amount of shine. And then part of it was his personality and his willingness to just be good to people and do the right thing. And, you know, he was always a guy who was very active in the community, you know, raised a lot of money for charity. I mean, he was actually involved, you know, helping to raise money for ALS research. And, you know, I think it's really a good opportunity, too, to shine a light and raise awareness a little bit for ALS. It's funny because I've gotten involved with the Les Turner ALS Foundation through what happened with Steve. I also lost my sister-in-law, Denise Fitzgerald, to ALS many years ago. So it's kind of near and dear to my heart, but you know, there are 30,000 people in the United States living with ALS, and the Les Turner Foundation has been a leader. You know, it raised more than $30 million since 1979 for care and research. So, I think it's an opportunity for people to remember that too, and not just gloss over the fact that this is a disease that really affects people deeply and we need to do all we can to try to make sure that it affects fewer people in the future.
Dan, as always, we appreciate your time, and we promise the next time that we ask you to come on the show, it will strictly be about current football, so that we can make it so that you don't feel like you have to carry that burden of always being the person that is sharing these stories. But we are so appreciative that you are there and that you are sharing those stories and doing it in a beautiful manner. Thank you for your time.
I don't mind at all. I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Dan. But yeah, we will stop meeting like this.
Yes. That is the Hall of Famer, Dan Pompey, talking about Steve Mongo McMichael. And we're going to talk with Jared Payton about a little bit of everything, the draft and his really close relationship with Steve McMichael. So don't go anywhere. JP joins us to talk about Mongo next on The Score.